and get back into Romans. But I thought I'd wait. So maybe next week, well, not maybe, next week, we'll get back into Romans. But because it is that time of year where we spend a lot of time reflecting, we reflect on the past, and I have this list of all the prayers that we've prayed over the last year, and I keep them up on that bulletin board in my office so that I can always look at them and be reminded of how God is moving in this church and in my life. And so on Mondays, we usually add to the list, and I'm not, as Frank asks, he's like, you're not going to read through all that, are you? No, I'm definitely not going to read them all, but I keep them all, and I've done it for the last 2 years, and I just stick them all in a folder, and every so often I can look back and I can see that God is continuing to move. Now, you might not remember, or maybe you never knew, but so around this time last year, it was in January, I spent a week in the hospital, and by the time I left, the doctors, well, they were baffled, but I went in there, and they were pretty sure that I had a stroke. Because the doctor tried walking me down the hall, and my foot was dragging, and I looked like a zombie, and he let me go, and I just started like walking in some weird direction. And so he was concerned, and everybody was pretty concerned. They were asking me questions like, if your heart stops, should we restart it? And I was like, yes. Yes, please. But they were really concerned, and I was not, because when I fell, and I did fall, and it seemed as though I had a stroke, my first thought was, I'm not going to be able to be a pastor anymore. It wasn't about my kids or my family or any of that. It was all, God brought me all this way so that I could just fall down and die. And so I spent that whole week in the hospital, and hooked up to all kinds of things, and they gave me all kinds of tests. And they said, well, we're going to let you go home because we have no idea what is wrong with you. You're not showing any physical signs of a stroke, even though what you described to us and the way you were, that it looked like you had a stroke. But there are no physical signs that you had a stroke. And I share that with you because maybe somebody needs to hear that God is still healing today. Because I definitely believe that whatever, like I could not be here. But it's only because God, and somebody needs to hear that God is still in the business of healing his people. And so one of the things that, in the Old Testament, they did a lot, and they were always, always trying to remember that God brought them out of Egypt. I know it's not always that way, but there was 186 times in the Old Testament that they are told to remember. And it is to remember that God has brought them out. And they weren't only just to remember themselves, but they were to gather together and remember as a sacred assembly. They were called together to remember as a corporate group that God had saved them and brought them out of where they were in the past. Didn't matter what oppression that they had been under, God had done it. And it was everybody's responsibility to come together and share those things. Because I know that some of you have had a pretty good 2024. There might have been some downsides to it, but I think spiritually there has been some growth. And there are other people that their growth might have stagnated. Their growth might have slowed down quite a bit. They're like, God's done working in me. Not because I've arrived, hopefully that's not what you think, but because I'm not part of God's plan anymore. Or maybe, I don't know what the reason is, but I want each of us to know and to realize that as long as you are still drawing breath, God still has a purpose for your life. You might not be able to see it, and maybe it might be something that you are never aware of until you come to that point where you're standing before God and you look back on your life, and God points out that the way that you acted here affected this person, and they might not have ever told you, but it had a positive impact on their life. So I wanted to read from Deuteronomy, verses 2 and 9. And if you hadn't guessed, there will be a portion of this message that includes your testimony to help you to share so that other people can hear that God is still working today. And somebody might need to hear that there is still hope for them. And that hope might reside in you. I'm not going to force anybody to speak, but if God so leads you, just be prepared. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Now, I don't know, maybe you don't remember this either, or maybe you weren't here, but when I came to preach my call back in 2022 in October, I preached out of Mark. And it was specifically, it was Mark's chapter 6, verses 7 to 44. And it was when Jesus sent out his disciples. And when they came back and they were so excited of all the things that God had done, Jesus said, "Oh, I know. I know what was happening because I saw Satan falling from heaven." But he said, come with me and we'll go and we'll rest. And that was an important message. And it's something that we always need to know, that when God brings us through a trying time, when we are victorious in Jesus Christ, we need to rest. And we need to take a break. But as I continued in that message, and as Jesus continued, when they went to go and find rest, they went off all by themselves, and 5,000 people showed up and followed them. And they rested that whole day while Jesus ministered to those people. And when they came back to Jesus, Jesus said, "All right, why don't you feed these people?" And, you know, the disciples were like, "What are you talking about? How you told us to come here? You told us to come without any food. You just told us to come and rest, and now you are telling us to feed 5,000 people in the middle of nowhere." And that's how our walk with Jesus Christ is going to be. Whatever God brought you through over the last 12 months, rest. But don't stay on that plateau. Don't you dare start walking with God, get to the Jordan and say, "Oh, I think I'm going to stay on this side because this side of the Jordan looks pretty good." You got to keep walking. And 2025 is going to bring challenges unlike you can't imagine. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you that God is going to tell you that you can do the impossible. Because God, he brought those disciples out into the middle of nowhere and specifically told them not to bring any food. And then as soon as they had rested, he said, "Well, feed these 5,000 people." And God will do it if we trust in him. See, the disciples, they were overwhelmed by what Jesus had asked them to do. Even though they had been through all these things, they had just seen the power of God working in their life. Jesus had told them, I saw what happened. I saw the miracles you performed because I saw Satan fall from heaven. Like this is a testimony of all the wonderful and powerful things that God was doing. The Holy Spirit was working through the disciples, and they were filled with joy. But then when that next step came, they were like, "Well, I can't do that. I might have been able to do those other things through your Spirit, but I can't do that." But as we know, or maybe you don't know, those 5,000 people were fed. And there was more food left over than what they started with, which is pretty amazing because the disciples themselves started with nothing. But there was still food left over. And it is this idea of, we talk about climbing the mountain and going from peak to peak and how there's a valley in between. But we need strength. We need to know that Jesus is still alive and well and changing lives today. We need to know for ourselves and for each other that if you are having a down day, if you are struggling, that there is somebody who is there to help pick you up. That there is somebody who will meet you where you are, and they will walk with you out of whatever situation you are in and bring you to that next peak. You might not spend the entire time walking with that person, but know that they are there. Know that they have been where you are, and their desire is to help you to grow. I've often said, well, maybe not from this particular position here, but I've often said that once the ministry that God has given me here starts to become ineffective, that I will leave. Because I feel as though God has called me here for a purpose. And when that purpose begins to either run its course or I take for granted what that purpose is and I just show up to work. I'm not doing anybody, it's just so you, I'm seeing a lot of concerned faces. I'm not resigning. There's a lot of people right now that are like, what's happening? I'm not talking about, I have no desire to resign. Thank you. But if the ministry is ineffective, if we are not continuing to grow as a congregation spiritually and mentally and physically, if we cannot grow together, then I am wasting everyone's time here. And we're all wasting our time, because the whole purpose for coming to Christ is to be transformed by His Holy Spirit, to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I do have, like, God gave me a word of when that time. He didn't give me a specific time, like, oh, this is how long you're going to be here. But He gave me a marker. And so when this begins to happen, then you have to make a choice. You either have to buckle down or move on. But that whole choice was all about our spiritual growth. If we become stagnant, if we sit on that plateau, we're happy with where we got, we're like, thank God He brought us to here, I think I'm going to stay on this side of the Jordan. Let's not do that. Let us continue to grow and grow in the faith so that however we were 12 months ago, that person would be unrecognizable to us as we look in the mirror. As we look at how we have grown spiritually over the last 12 months. And I expect us to grow over the next 12 months. And however long God has you here, not here, but here on this earth, I expect that we would continue to grow, and as the love of Christ continues to dwell within us, that we would just continue to want to love God more. Now, as I said, I was going to open the floor to a testimony for anybody who wanted to share how God has moved in their life over the last 12 months. David's going to grab a microphone. And if you would just like to share how God has moved in your life, just to encourage those around you that change is still possible, that the Holy Spirit is still transforming lives today. Is there anyone?
Thank you for the chance. I've said this to a few people, that this past year, it's tempting to say it's been the worst year of my life, because I lost my husband on January the 10th. And I just felt myself take a breath. And in July, my daughter was dying. And I thought, Lord, I don't really understand. But to say that it was the worst time in my life, or the worst year of my life, wouldn't be true. Because I can't say that there ever was a moment, ever, when God wasn't right there beside me. Every turn, every step I took, everything I encountered, there He was, there He was, there He was. In ways I never expected, He showed up in things I never thought of. And I saw Him over and over and over again, daily, all through the day and all through the night. So although it has been one of the most challenging times in my life, I also have to say that I have been closer and found out truly that God is who he says he is. He fulfills his promises. He has a plan for each of us. And I know that there is a plan for as long as he leaves me here. Because if we're his and we're here, he has a work for us to do that will be blessed and will be fruitful and will be glorious in his sight. And that's our aim.
Thank you. Praise God. Is there anyone else?
Spleen, which I knew nothing about, and I had many, many things happen to me since then in 1 year. And this year is the end of 4 years for my cancer, and the last time I seen the doctor, he told me that there was no sign of it returning. And I was already at stage 4 of cancer. And it's only to the grace of God that I'm even here. Because 3 years ago, I had a heart attack in September. And by December, I was taken to the hospital. And I have no memory of almost 2 months. I had so much fluid, it went to my brain, I presume. And all of a sudden, at about the 10th of February the next year, I came back to myself. And it's only through the grace of God that I am even here today, because they even told me that I almost died. And nobody will tell me when.
Praise God. There we go.
Well, over the last 12 months, it's been quite the change, that's for sure, in my life. God has definitely graced us with everything. We got baptized in September, and it's just been awesome since. God has been with us through all of our decisions, even so much as the last, 6 months we've been praying, and finally our prayer's been answered, and we're going to start a business in the new year, and we get our first equipment next week, and that's all through God. Without him, I totally would not even be here. Glory be to him.
Amen.
Especially with my family, everything has kind of changed. All their attitudes towards us have been nothing but positive now, which is big difference considering the negativity I came from. And yeah, our health, our finances, everything. We pray to God every day, and it's just been fantastic. I can't say enough good things.
All right, thank you.
It's been an eventful year for me, as well as you all know, with the passing of my sweetheart, and it was totally unexpected, but I'm so thankful that Pastor Dave and Pastor John and Julia were with me the night he died. And I was not alone, and yes, I grieved, but I had a wonderful Christmas, thanks to the people who cared and still loved me, and God has used those people to get me through, and I'm still singing praises and still smiling. Yes, that doesn't mean that I don't miss him. I'm just thankful, first of all, that he is with the Lord. He has accepted the Lord into his heart and life. And so I am so thankful that I'm going to see him one day. Yay! And so I am happy and blessed with a wonderful group like you and many other people. So yes, it's been tough, just as Bonnie said, your challenging year, but I got through Christmas. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
I do love these testimonies. They make me really cry a lot, though. I do find joy in the Lord, so I'm hoping that that comes across on my face sometimes. I don't always mean to be bawling up there on the worship stage. But I did want to share that this since moving here, and we moved to New Brunswick for 7 years as well, but it's not until we moved here, well, I actually started getting some counseling for some unmet trauma that I have. And when I started doing the counseling, I learned about this expression called, or a term called fight or flight. And part of what's happened to me as a child and then growing up with authoritarian parents that I have produced in me this wiring that I don't fight, I flee, or avoid is another term that is common. We tend to avoid things, and so that is kind of how I have operated in circumstances where there has been a crisis or some type of disagreement or any sort of disparaging situation. It kind of simplified it for me when my counselor explained it to me. And so I recognize that even my God calling us to New Brunswick, part of my willingness to go and just let everything like move away, which was I never thought I would do, not only strengthened me, but it also recognized, I only realized it, that I was fleeing unmet trauma. And so part of that trauma had to do with my parents. And so I figured, well, my mother is like 80 years old, and she's not that well healthy, and she doesn't have a really good attitude about living, and she does not know Jesus. And so God really imparted me the desire to stop running. Even moving up here, I was almost discouraged because I thought, I'm only 3 hours away, 4 hours away. I can't use that as an excuse because I really was avoiding my family. I love my mother, but having strict parents was not, kind of left me resentful as a person toward my parents. My father has passed away, and so it's just my mother left now. But God has been changing my heart bit by bit, and so I made the choice to go down, take the bus to see my mother every month. And it was only for 24 hours, sometimes 48 hours. I do spend the 5 hours on the bus praying that my mother's words would be sweet and loving. They never have. She's a very critical person, and so I usually leave not really having my own expectations met. But God has also shown me and been so faithful that it's okay that it's okay for me because I have his joy and his peace and his love to fill those voids. And in so doing that, not only has God been faithful, but it has allowed me to see my mother from a different perspective and not from like the hurt that she has dispelled. And so the last three trips down have been incredible because God has been changing her heart. She's been sharing with me trauma that she had as a youngster, which I can completely see now as a pattern of why she is parented the way she is parented. And it is really wonderful because we're both there bawling our eyes out, of course, me, instant crier. But seeing my mother share and talk about the hurt that she's had has been really freeing to her. And Lord, my last visit, she doesn't say I love you, by the way, my mother, even though I say it, I guess nothing. My mother told me that she was so thankful to God, even though she had such a horrible upbringing and was abandoned for a couple of years and then returned to her parents, that he has brought her to the present. And I thought, she just wrapped, without having a faith in Christ, she just wrapped up the beauty of transformation in a nutshell in that conversation. From having this past history, but being so thankful and so having such gratitude in her heart for that moment when she was with her family and she got to see me before Christmas, which she didn't get to when we were in New Brunswick. And so she really taught me. And I left and I took the bus back and I kept thinking, Lord, thank you so much. Not only did she include you in her gratuitous response to me, she taught me something. And I think it was really wonderful for that God allowed me to see that. And just taking slowly, unveiling my eyes to the wall that I had built up as well toward her. So I just wanted to share that God is indeed faithful.
Amen. So we have time for one more, if one more person wants to.
I just want to say something to you, Pastor John. Don't even think about it. Because every week, it's different. Every week, it's better for me to come here and hear you talk. I've told you that when I leave the church, I thank you for your, whatever you call it. Is it a sermon? I don't know what it is. It's not what you call a sermon. But you're wonderful. God is guiding you, and you're helping me, and don't even think about it.
Okay, thank you.